Today, I want to share with you a very insightful message, I believe, a word from God for us, for whoever watches this now or later. I've learned some things. I'm constantly learning, and I'm glad to say that. You know, I haven't stopped learning from God, and just when I think I've learned a couple of things and I have enough to run with, that God gives us more, and I appreciate that about the Lord. Romans chapter 12, we'll start there today. Romans 12, then we're going to go later on down into the story of the parable of talents in Matthew 25. But Romans chapter 12, first of all, Romans 12 and 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." My title today is "The Gift of Limitation and the Grace of Becoming." Say, "The Gift of Limitation and the Grace of Becoming." Now, this is an odd title, because why would we ever use the term limitation in association with a message from the Lord, a word from God, a sermon? But there is a gift in limitation we're going to see today. On the surface, this might seem negative, but it is in fact a very powerful and liberating principle. Now, let's set this up right now this way. Here's the objective of the message. The objective is to help us reframe our thinking about what we know as a limitation. The objective is to learn how to accept what we cannot change in order to focus on what we can change. And understand that there's a difference between limitations of design and limitations, I'll say false limitations, of what is determined. Paul did not say, "Don't think about yourself." What did he say? He said in Romans 12 and verse 3, "Don't think more highly than you ought to think of yourself." He actually is saying, "Think of yourself." He's saying, "Don't think more highly than you ought to think." But you ought to think. Say, "I ought to think of myself." And we're going to reframe our thinking about limitation and recognize that there is a gift in limitation and there's a grace in becoming. Now, what the Bible is saying, again, he's not saying don't think of yourself. He is saying, the text is saying, first of all, Paul said, "I speak by the grace of God. I say by the grace of God." So this text is coming from a place of grace. Anything coming from God's grace is good for us. Whatever comes from grace, whatever words and scriptures and insights come from grace are good for us. And grace, we have defined for you for many, many years. Grace is God's ability. Grace is God's operational power. And grace is everything that God has that he makes available to us. Favor, we know, undeserved favor is a common definition, but it's God's ability, his operational power. It is the power by which he does what he does. And everything he makes available to us is in the grace of God. So the text is coming from that place of grace. Second, the text is saying that don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. Not because it's wrong to think more highly of yourself, but because it's a waste of thought. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. Because if I thought myself to be Michael Jordan or LeBron James, that's a waste of thought. If I thought myself to be a singer like, you know, Whitney Houston or like, you know, Luther Vandross, I'm old school, you know, I got the old school names, but I can't think like that. That's a waste of thought. I can enjoy it. I can listen to it. I can recognize the excellence, but I don't think myself in that realm. You know, guess what? Your laptop computer cannot make pancakes. That's called limitation of design. So the fact I don't have athletic ability like MJ or, you know, whomever, or I can't sing like whoever. It's okay, because my design is not for singing. Your DNA has determined limitations of design, and that's fine. That's okay. It's good, because if I don't think about my laptop making pancakes or trying to sing or do things I'm not designed to do, I can then spend my time on things I am designed to do. The gift of limitation is to get free from the stuff you aren't designed to do and focus and work at what you are designed to do. Now, I don't mean to have limited thinking or think small, because here's the danger. The danger is, I said there's two kinds. There's a limitation of design, but there is the false limitation of what is determined. Now, this is the dangerous part, because if, in fact, you can sing, but you determine that you can't, you don't try, right? Sometimes folk have abilities, but they have let their circumstances, other people, whatever around them, make them determine. Listen, there's no design issue with them. It's an issue of how they have determined. They determined the wrong way. It's a determinism issue, not a design issue. So while we should not waste time on what we're not designed to do, don't make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, I'm not doing it now, so it must not be God's will for me. Well, no, that's the problem with determining something that you're still designed to do. So how do we get to where we are designed? We'll get to that in our message here. But the text again said that we should think soberly. Now, when it said think soberly, we know in our vernacular, sober means not drunk. But the Bible word for sober really means to be of sound mind. To be of sound mind. It also means to be in one's right mind. Because this word was used in Mark chapter 5, verse 15. And they came to Jesus, and they saw him who was possessed with the devil, who had the legion, delivered, of course, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And he was naked, running around, full of the devil. Now he's sitting down, he's clothed, and in his right mind. And that phrase, in his right mind, is the same word we just read that says, think soberly. That is, you got to be in your right mind. Ask your neighbor, David, are you in your right mind? Well, ask him back, are you in your right mind? Don't be asking me a question. Don't be asking me. He says, think soberly. This is important, because thinking that you are who you're not is not being in one's right mind. Pursuing things that aren't your design is not being in your right mind. It is not a part of God's design for you. Now, but then again, like I said, don't let the devil beat you down. Do not let what I'm saying be used by the devil. Say, that's why you're not doing it, because you're not designed for it. No. You may have determined that. Design is different than what's been determined. I love it when people rise above what they've been determined they can't do. I love it. Amen. You know, going to the Black History Museum over and over again, that people, when they have the design and they determine to do something, they rise to the very top of whatever it is. Whatever it is. All that. I watched a young lady a couple weeks ago who won the U.S. Open tennis tournament, Sloane Stephens, young lady. African-American lady, and four Americans were in the final four. And, you know, and two of the final ladies were African-American ladies, and Sloane won that tournament. I mean, won going away. And yet, read her story, that she was told as a child that someone determined that she would not be an exceptional tennis player. that she was told based on her, how she looked, her body type, her, you know, all that, that, you know, well, you know, she can have fun, you know, dinking the ball around a little bit, but she doesn't have what it takes to become a champion. But her mother disagreed. You know what I'm saying? She disagreed with that. So my point is, oh, she had the design. You can't go by what people are telling you sometimes. Go by what God says. And people who know God and know you, what they say. Go by that. So she determined, and she won the tournament. In fact, I watched it, and it was amusing watching her, amusing and just joyful, I'm saying. She won the tournament. They gave her a trophy, gave her a check. The check they gave her was for $3.7 million. Of course, she got paid for winning that tournament. $3.7 million. So I'm watching the video. I'm watching the DVR replay of it on my TV there. And I watched it. And I watched her get that check. And then for one split second, she looked up in the stands. I guess her mother went like this. My God. Oh, my God. It's hard to hold that in. It's hard. I mean, you know, you're glad I got a trophy. The trophy is a beautiful trophy. But a check for $3.7 million. Make you smile. But the point is this, that was her design, but someone determined it was not. You can't go by what people are saying about you. You cannot go by that, with all people saying about you, how you feel about something. Amen? So the text is saying that, think soberly. And so we are not going to, we're going to curb the passions. Again, it's definitions of this word in Hebrew. Curb passions. Be of sound mind. Be in one's right mind. Have a moderate estimate of oneself. And just be accurate. Let's keep it real, we say. Keep it real. Because there's enough in you that's real that no hype is necessary. There's enough value and ability and design in you that is so good, you don't need to have any hype. Hype it up. You don't play it up. There's enough of you already. Amen, somebody? And the text is also saying, again, Romans 3, 12 and 3 says, and think within the realm of your faith. He says, think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Meaning that you should think within the realm and domain of your faith, what you can believe. Now get this right here. What you can believe that God is doing in your life or can do in your life is actually bigger than what you can make up in your mind without God. You get that? What you can believe God can actually do with you is actually more and bigger than what you can make up in your mind as a fantasy about what you could be. That's why don't spend any time wishing you were someplace else, somebody else, because all you're doing is missing who you actually are. You're missing out on what God has through grace in you. Y'all receive that? So that's why we say the gift of limitation and the grace of becoming. So that, again, your laptop, you know, can't make pancakes. Some laptops can't even do video. You know a laptop can't do pancakes. But a laptop can do video. Well, no, some cannot. Really? Yes, really. Because the design of it was not made for handling big video files. A friend called one time and said, Brian said, man, I got this 4K video footage. Now, 4K is a video format is four times as big as HD. HD is that screen, HD. Imagine that screen four times bigger. That's 4K, okay, in terms of resolution. And so he said, man, I cannot edit the file. I can't open the file. I said, well, you know, you got the wrong computer, Doc. You're like, it's a computer. Yes, but it has a design limitation. It's made for surfing the web, doing email, that kind of stuff. So every computer can do everything. Now, you know what I told them to do, right? They get a Mac. oh, it's being arrogant. No, I'm being truthful. Every Mac can do all video. Some Windows can do them, but all Macs can. So then, if you want to do video, get a souped-up PC, which is great, or get yourself any Mac out of the store will do the same thing. Because sometimes it is a design limitation, and you cannot overcome a design limitation. Just can't do it. But if the issue is, though, that you've determined you can't, but you got the right design, you got a breakthrough in your thinking to see, okay, I can do this. I have limited myself in thinking I can't, or others have limited me. I'm so concerned about this. I mean, that's why we always encourage youth. We work with youth, as you know, all kinds of ways, and realizing that they're the next generation. We also encourage everybody, adults as well, but you know that we all have a heart. If the youth don't know their design, and if they somehow determine they can't do something, or someone puts it in them, they'll grow up self-limited. Heard a story one time about a baby elephant that they wanted to keep from roaming around in this area. He was not free range. He was, you know, he was in captivity. But they put a shackle on his leg, and they put a stake in the ground with a chain on it. And so the elephant went so far and, you know, couldn't go any further. He pulled the chain, would limit his range of movement. He'd get so far, and the chain would limit how far he could go. Well, the elephant grew and grew and grew, you know, and when he became full grown, he was powerful enough to easily pull the stake out of the ground and walk on down the street with it, walk on down the field, across the field with it. But because he had been conditioned to stop trying when he felt the chain tension, when he got to the end of the chain and pulled, he couldn't, as a baby, pull it. But he learned, he determined, I cannot go further than the length of this chain. Here he was, a full-grown animal, powerful as all get out, and yet when he felt that chain, he stopped trying. Now that's what I'm talking about, determination, determining a limitation versus design limitation. And that's why we have to constantly challenge ourselves and be challenged by God. And empowered is the whole thing we've been using this year. Empowered means that you're being taken someplace you haven't gone before. You're being empowered means M is into power. We're putting power in you to do something, to know something about yourself. And that's very, very important. I've been empowered all my life by people and by God. I'm a believer in it. I practice it, proven it, that even when people say you can't do something, you get to a point where saying I can't is just what I needed to hear. If I can't do it, now I'm not talking about what I really am not designed to do. You won't challenge me to run a marathon. You won't challenge me in the sing-a-thon. You know, you won't challenge me in a lot of areas, but in some things, I've got design, so there's no saying no, unless I just don't want to. Because that's how God designed us. He says, think. Don't think more high than you ought to think, but think soberly, soundly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now we're in a realm, man, where the sky has a limit, really. What is your faith? See, what can your faith embrace in the purpose and design of God? Recognize limitation and design. If you're not designed for something, don't waste your energy on it. Refocus yourself on what you're designed to do, what you're determined to do, what you can do by determination and decision, and work on that. But I've learned that, especially being older and having less time to do things, where I spend my time now has become very, very important. And get free from distractions and limitations of design. Cast off limitations you've determined. And get into what God has for you. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help to get into or get stronger into what you've designed me to do. You know, Paul said that regarding in a letter, he said in Galatians, those who seem to be something added nothing to me. Think about that. Those who seem to be something added nothing to me, meaning that, not that they aren't somebody, but that what they're doing doesn't add to you. And yet, sometimes people are in the orbit of people who are doing nothing for them. They call fans or fanatics. And now I like sports. I'm a sports guy. I like football. I like, you know, I'm on top of these things. But I'm not in anybody's orbit. I mean, if they come to town, I'm not rushing down there and hoping to get an autograph. That spirit, the autograph spirit, I'm talking about. No, I'm not doing that. So that's a distraction, because you should be excited about what God's doing in you through those whom you know. You should be willing to be more connected to people who are actually pouring into you, because that's where the grace of God's flowing to empower you greater. Amen, somebody? Let's go to Matthew 25. Talk about the parable of the talents and where this fits in here. There's a good message here about design versus what one has determined in Matthew 25. Verse 14, Jesus taught, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man having traveled to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." By the way, that's important detail. He delivered his goods to them. Verse 15, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability," or his own design, you might say. So then there's the picture. This man delivered goods, which is really talents are money. It's not singing and drawing, it's money. He gave 3 people an amount. Gave 5 to one person, 2 to another, and 1 talent to a third person. But the qualification was he gave it according to his own ability. Not to his own importance. Listen to me. The man who received 5 was not more important than the other men. It was just according to their ability, their design. And he went his way. So it says, verse 16, "So he who received 5 talents went and traded and gained another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 more, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more besides them.' The Lord said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things.' And so the same story for the guy who received 2 talents. So then the guys who received 5 and 2 each went and invested and traded and gained double. They doubled the investment back to the person who invested in them. But now we come to verse 24. It says, "Then he who received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.'" Which sounds like a pretty good plan. You know, I mean, you gave me less to risk. So why should I risk it? But here's the issue, though. They all were designed to make investment. Their design was, an expectation was, that they would invest that money. So it was not a matter of the person with one thinking it's something different about me because I have less. Or I can't afford to risk because I have less. That had nothing to do with what the plan was. You follow me? He determined that. See? He wasn't designed. It was not a design limitation. He had determined he had limitation. And then when he decided that, he then began to make his excuses. This is what we do sometimes. Rather than do what God said or do what we should be doing, we make excuses. And this excuse was, "Well, Lord, now I know you. I knew you'd be, you're a man. You're a hard man." You hard. Hard like what? Like what? Like I expect you to do what I ask you to do? Hard like what? It's called an excuse. He says, you reap where you've not sown. He's thinking, he's like, okay, you may, if I will bury this, you'll never find it. You'll reap somewhere where I've not sown. Where he thought, I'll bury this and it's over with. I'm done with the whole thing. He didn't realize that being accounting one day, we forget that the Lord holds us to account. Everybody must give an account. And so what, you got a lot or a little, we all must give an account. Well, the story goes on. This is what's even worse about the story for the man. It said here in verse 26, the Lord answered and said, "You wicked and lazy servant." Oh, my goodness. That's pretty cold. The man played it safe. But in the purposes for which he had been assigned, playing it safe equated to being wicked and lazy. He went on to say to that servant, verse 27, "So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest." You don't want to invest it aggressively, just invest it safely. But invest it. Don't bury it. "Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. He will have an abundance. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Now, that's cold. That's pretty cold stuff right there. Here's the principle. The principle is God is only interested in what you're designed to do. He's actually less interested in what you want to do. He has interest in what you want to do. He does. But the way to getting into the wants is getting into the design. Getting into the things that God wants from us and designs us to do is the gateway to everything else, right? I mean, seek first the kingdom, right? What else? Righteousness, and all these things will be added. So to the design is added other things. You know, when God came to Solomon and said to him in a dream, "Solomon, ask me for anything you want." Solomon said, "Lord, give me a wise and understanding heart to lead your people." That's what he asked for. That's all he asked for. And the Bible says God gave him that and what he did not ask for, riches and honor. He gave Solomon money and all kind of stuff because he had his design straight. He understood the design, and therefore God could trust him. It's a trust matter. Yeah, it's a trust matter. I mean, If a person gives me something to do and I just go do it and bring it back, that builds trust, doesn't it? Obviously, builds trust. If I loan you my car and you bring it back out of gas and dirty with a couple new dings in the side, I'm like, and you don't say nothing, bring it back, give me the keys, so, you know, you just that design is all blowed up. You know, the design of you borrowing my stuff, that's a limitation from going forward. You're now going to be limited. You don't get nothing out of me like that. You know what I'm saying? So point is, sometimes we miss our design and don't appreciate what's in front of us, and we miss out on so much more that God has. So answer to this whole thing is simple. Just go with God, follow him, do what's right. Amen. And when you're given something by God to use, by all means, use it, invest it, make use of it. That's why he gave it to you. Now, God never demands from a person abilities which he does not have. Never ask you to do what you don't have on the inside of you. But that's the beauty of having coaches and people around you who see what God's doing in you, because even though you can't see it, your mentors see it. Your mentors, your pastor, others in your life see what God's put in you and put a demand on it. And so that's why we say, yeah, there's design limitation, but our problem is sometimes we've made a false determination about what we can do. So let's reframe our thinking. Let's not accept what people say, unless people know us. And, you know, I mean, it's different kind of people. I mean, the average person around you say something. Don't accept that. Listen, grace can give you what you don't have. When you were born again, God put all new grace in you. He put whatever you grew up not knowing, it changed when you were born again. There's a whole new reality in you. Now, there's still a limitation of design based on your calling, but please don't dismiss that God would do something. He couldn't call me to preach. Now I'm too old to preach and too old to do missions, too old to whatever. I didn't finish school. It's not a design issue. That's a thinking issue. Another example. You know, on computers, this happens to all of us. Computers, now devices. You go on a computer sometime, and it pops up and say, it asks you to allow something. You know, you hit it, and it comes up and says, you know, click this to allow this function or dismiss that, you know. Now, if you're smart, you don't just always hit yes on that. Come on, somebody. You don't know what's popping up on that screen sometimes. Because here's the thing about it and how we get to the place of getting into our design is some things do change your design and some things don't. Now, on your computer, some buttons you hit can say yes to will change the whole operation of your computer. Now, if it's an upgrade or a fix, that's one thing. It'll change the system, but in a good way. But a lot of stuff nowadays, you know, is camouflaged as something needful and useful, but in fact, it's something harmful, right? So once you hit the button, and after hit that button, man, your whole world fell apart. In terms of, you know, I'm talking about, you know, spam and all this stuff happening. Boy, I tell you, I had a friend of mine one time, website looked up, and he had some Russian language on his website. The Russians had hacked his website and took it over, put Russian stuff up on there. I said, dude, you've been hacked. We're talking about, look at it. I said, oh, my goodness, what happened? And so he pushed the wrong button. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing about it, though. Now, in your life, the same opportunity comes. I'll call it the breaking point. The breaking point, where something happens that make you decide, am I going to go with God or not go with God? Am I going to a higher level or I'm going to stay and bow down to this lower thing? Now, for me personally, my testimony is it happened to me when I was about 20 years old in Muncie, Indiana, going to Ball State University, had a summer job at a glass factory, a place called Dunkirk, Indiana, outside of Muncie. It's a summer job. You know, summer jobs are common. But this job paid really well. And so my job was working around these glass furnaces and reaching in and t- taking out the excess glass. When it goes up, reach in. And then before it comes down, pull your hand back out in the tool and scrape all the excess stuff out. Other job we had was going up on top of the silos, climb the side of the ladder, go up on top. And so the train would come and bring the chemicals, make glass, and a conveyor would take all the chemicals to the top of the silo and drop them in the silo. But over the course of the year, through rainfall and stuff, and water would mix and make it harden. So our job was, in the summertime, hire the summer help for this, climb the silo with a pick and axe and hammers and stuff and chip away all that hardened chemicals and throw them over the side, clean the machinery up, okay? Another job we had was to go down into the pit where the train would deposit the chemicals. They had an underground, like an opening cavern there. The train would come over the top, the bottom opened up, and all the chemicals would pour down into this big pit. Our job was to go down in the pit, same thing, and chip and loosen up and break up all the hardened chemicals. But the crazy part of the job was that they gave us a ladder to go down in the pit, and when you're in the pit, the ladder comes up. They put a ladder up and then lower down buckets to put the chunks of chemical in. But you're down in that pit until they put the ladder back down there for you. You're in the pit until the ladder comes down. And they gave us these masks because you're breathing the stuff. And the mask was a simple mask you buy at Walmart. Or these were not real masks. These were like little masks, so eyes were always burning. And they get a gap in the mask, and your nose is burning. So now between that and then shoveling up glass, the broken glass, you know, when you make bottles, they reject bottles. The rejected bottles go into a pile of glass. It gets, you know, for recycling. And so they would toss the glass would break up. My job was to shovel glass, keep all the glass in one big pile. But while doing that one day, I stepped on a glass bottom. It had been broken into a C shape. And I stepped on it, and it went up and stuck me in the foot. Went through my work shoe, embedded in my foot, and got blood all in my shoe now. I thought, man, that's a bad deal. So I figured, you know what, I'm getting off today. I limped over to the infirmary, took my boot off, cleaned the blood off, stitched me up, sent me back to work. That's when I thought, you know what, I'm going to stay in school, I'm going to finish school. I respect folk that labor. I do. I've labored. But it wasn't my design long term. So my point is, that's one thing God used to get me to think and forever think about the use what he's given me. I can work hard. It's a gift I have as well. But what else has he given me? And question to you, what are your breakpoints? What has God used to open your eyes to your design? To your design. And that the limitation of design is, I'm not going to do long or at all what I'm not designed to do. But I am going to determine to do what I am designed to do. Now, listen, when no youth are here, I was going to say, if the kids say, well, I ain't designed to cut no grass, the answer is yes, you are. Because that grass cutting season is good for you. My season at the glass factory was good for me. God used that. All right, so here, let's finish up here. Whatever your story is, I can't speak for you, but at least I know, whatever your design actually is, my goodness, Lord, help you to run with that. Whatever you design not to do, then get your mind off of it. Stop wasting your time on it. Amen? Get into the grace that provides, the grace that enables and empowers you. The grace, he says, as our text said in Romans 12:3, again, he says, But think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What does your faith dictate to you? In even your current work, because your current work is obviously what God's called you to do. Now, you haven't worked for 10 years for nothing, 20 years. No, you're in your lane already. But how can your faith help you in the lane that you're in now? And what is it that may be distracting you from the purposes of God in this lane you're in? Amen, somebody? Let's all stand.